Well, how's everybody doing? Wow. Thrilled this morning, aren't we? Let's try it again. How's everybody doing? Good. It's glad to see everybody. Did you miss me last week? Yeah, I probably not. Yeah, see, yeah, nope. It was a nice time at the beach, you know. I know you had 80-degree weather here, and then we come back to 50-something, freezing my butt off at a soccer game yesterday, and another one today later. But it was good to be away, and it was always good to, you know, go to the beach. It's been a while since we've been at the beach. We found, how many shark teeth did we find, Judah? Yeah, so I found 60 myself, probably, what, 80 total. We found shark teeth, something like that. So we like to, I like to hunt for shark teeth. The kids just go long. Do what? I do, I have some. Do you want one? I'll give you one. Okay, there we go. I mean, I got ample of them. Anyways, that has nothing to do with anything. So, just me spewing. Anyways, it's good to be back. It's always good to get away and relax and spend time with family, especially as your kids get older and, you know, you have a limited time of that with them. So, but it's good to be back and be back with all of you and ready to continue the work that the Lord has us on. And we're going to continue in Mark. So we're going to be Mark 7. So if you want to open up your Bibles there. And to be honest, I thought we would be through Mark by now. And here we are. We're not even halfway. There's 16 chapters. So after chapter 8, we'll be halfway. And we're only at chapter 7. Well, end of chapter 7. But months ago, I don't even remember when we actually started Mark, sometime in January, I think, or something like that, or maybe even December before, I don't remember. But I do remember, you know, really praying and seeking the Lord of, you know, what to do and where to kind of do the sermons and lead the church and those kind of things. And I remember as I was praying, I was listening to some music too. And the song Tear Off the Roof by Brandon Lake came on. And if you know that song, then you know what I'm talking about. But it goes through, that song talks a lot about, there's two or three events that Jesus did in that song about just his power and the faith that it took for people to walk and to experience those things. And I thought that's what I want, and that's what we as a church ultimately want, is that we want God to move in our lives. And we want God to be extremely powerful. And we don't want to be one of those people that's just in the crowd, right? We want to be one of those people that pushes through the crowd to touch the hem of God's garment, of Jesus' garment. We want to be the one that takes our friends to the roof and tears off the roof to lower our friend down into in front of Jesus to be healed. We want to have such a burden and a passion and a love and a desire to be with God that we are willing to take the extra steps. And when I say extra steps, like anything to be there. That is the history of County Line. That has been my passion and desire for, you know, most of my life. And walking through Mark, God said this is the way to present it to the people, is to walk through Mark and share everything that Jesus did while he was here on the earth and show them. And, you know, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, I did listen to, Tim's not even here. He didn't want to get, you know, shellacked, I guess. No, just kidding. He did a good job. I listened to it while I was walking on the beach. But 2 weeks ago, we were in Mark 7 looking at the woman who came and to have her daughter. Her daughter had a demon, and so she wanted to have Jesus cast it out. And he did from a distance, didn't even meet the daughter. And it's those kind of things that we want to see happen, that our faith is so strong our belief that God can. And not only believe that God can, but God will. That's the road we're on. And that's where we are going to continue on. And so in this, in Mark 7, we have, We have the story picking up of Jesus. Now think about everything Jesus is that we've already studied that Jesus has already done. So we know that he's fed the 5,000. He healed the woman that was hemorrhaging for I don't remember how many years. But by her just touching his cloak, we know that he's healed the lame. He's healed leprosy. He's healed, cast out demons. He sent out the 12. All of these different things. And last 2 weeks ago, we looked at that Jesus went to Tyre to get away and just to get a break, kind of like going to the beach and finding shark teeth and shells and stuff. And so he just wanted to get away, and then he was confronted with this Gentile woman who just wanted her daughter healed. And so just through her faith, her daughter was delivered of this demon. And Jesus dialogues with her saying, listen, it's not time for the Gentiles to receive yet. And she debates back with God. She enters into dialogue with God in such a respectful way, but still challenges him and has the faith to respond to him and say, but yet, even the dogs will eat the scraps. And so here is where we're at with Jesus. And so we know he is up here in this region. Let's see. Up here, right? So he's in this region right here. Now here's the thing. We're going to start in verse 31 of chapter 7. And it says, and again he, Jesus, went out from the region of Tyre and came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, within the region of Decapolis. So, the fastest way to travel is by what? Water, okay. But if I wanted to go, it's by straight line through air, water, whatever, right? But if we go in a straight line, we don't want to curve. Now, how many of you would go to Lima by going to Findlay first, down to Columbus, down to Dayton, then up to Findlay, or up to Lima from there? How many would travel that way? No, you jump on 75 and go down, or you jump on 81 and go in, or you whatever, right? So here's how Jesus traveled, though. So he's in this region here. Right here is Sidon. So he goes up here, down to the Sea of Galilee, clear over here, and here's Decapolis. And it's this area, but we know that he was by the Sea of Galilee, so he's in this area here. So he goes up, around, and down. He could have gone up and straight down then, whatever, and then around here. But somehow, he took a very long way. We don't know why. It really is no point of anything because we don't know why he did that. It doesn't say. I just find it very interesting that Jesus is just out for this long stroll. And so he goes through, and so now we're in Decapolis by the Lake Sea of Galilee, which right here is the Sea of Galilee. So we know he's in this area right here. And so he's there, and of course, just like where he was last time, people noticed him, and they started coming around. And so in verse 32, it says that they brought to him Jesus. So crowds gathered, and they brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty. And they implored him to lay his hand on him. Jesus took him aside from the crowd by himself and put his fingers in his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva, and looking up to heaven with a deep sigh, he said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened. And his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was removed, and he began speaking plainly. And he gave orders, Jesus gave them orders, to not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. they were utterly astonished, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Now, there is a lot here. This little small passage has a lot. Okay, what do we know? We know he's in the Decapolis, okay? And we know that there is a crowd. We don't know who they are, but they, friends, people, bring this one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty. All right? Now, sometimes I speak with difficulty. I have, you know, I'll say one word to mean something else. You guys have all pointed that out to me time to time, right? But man, he probably has difficult speaking because he's deaf. Has anybody heard a deaf person speak before? They just sound, I mean, it's actually pretty amazing that they could actually make out the sounds of the words that they do without being able to hear it. But they're always kind of this impediment. And so we know he is deaf. We know he doesn't speak well at all. And so here it is. Another group of people, friends probably, of this individual that bring them to Jesus. Now, how many of you have ever had a difficulty doing something, but your friends have encouraged you to do it and actually forced you to do it, and it was a good thing, right? How many of you have done that for a friend? How many of you would actually take your friend and put them at the feet of Jesus? Would you do that? Do you do that? Sometimes it's right? Let's face it. Here is, see, there's just a lot of small nugget lessons that we can take away from here. Again, we see groups of friends interceding on behalf of this individual, taking them, encouraging them, speaking life into their situation, and bringing them to Jesus so that they can receive something from Jesus. Let that sink in for a minute. How many of us right now know somebody in our lives that could receive something from Jesus, that needs something from Jesus? Let's begin to pray and ask God, "God, am I supposed to bring them to your feet?" The answer is yes. The question then, second question becomes, is how? And that's where it gets very tricky. Because how many of you have friends that don't want to go in front of Jesus? Because that can be very difficult. That's when we pray. And we ask God to open doors, give an opportunity. Let me see, let me sense, let me have this time appointed by you to bring them to your feet. What we see next, though, is we see them, and then it continues and it says, "And they implored him to lay his hands on him." Who implored them? Jesus, they did. So did the deaf man? No. The friends begged for Jesus to heal him. Now, we could sit there, well, he's deaf, he doesn't know what's going on. Well, he knew enough to come along with them. Did he know who Jesus was, the deaf man? Maybe, maybe not. Was there signing, writing, sometime that, how did they communicate? They would have communicated somehow, on some level. But it's interesting in that it was the friends who implored, the friends who begged for Jesus to heal. We see this time and time, and we're at the end of chapter 7 in Mark, and did you know Mark's the shortest gospel? And yet, time and time again, the woman right before this, the passage right before this that had the daughter, who came in front of Jesus? The mother. Did Jesus even see the daughter? But the daughter was healed. Who put the man, the crippled man, who tore open the roof for him? Yeah, poor Peter's house, right? Dropped through the roof. It was friends. The friends did that. They interceded on behalf. We see time and time again where people come on behalf of somebody else, begs Jesus, intercedes for them, and God moves. This is where we get the concept that, hey, if you know somebody hurting in your life, that God presses upon you. God puts on your heart, and you come up and we pray over them, we know that God can still move in them even if they're not even present. Even if they are present and they're struggling in their own faith, our faith can stand in there and move mountains for them on their behalf. Sure. Has anybody ever interceded for somebody and nothing happened? Yeah, I have. Does that mean we stop? No. That means we don't have the full picture and we don't understand. And that doesn't mean that God didn't work miracles. It's just we didn't see them as we thought we would see them. And we were wanting something that was not meant to be. But the truth is God calls us to intercede for people. God calls us to walk a path for people. And if we, I know I've said several times over the last several months is that we need to have a heart of serving. And really, God, the other day, and God reminded me of it's not just serving. It's not opening the door for somebody. It's not, you know, leading a Bible study or bringing somebody. I'm not talking. The aspect of serving that I'm talking about is putting somebody in front of you, ahead of you, that is more important than you. Understanding that what you want, what you desire, it ultimately doesn't matter. Because it's ultimately what God wants and what God desires. And what God did is he set himself aside to make other people more important than them. And if we're to follow his example, then we need to do the same thing. And this is what exactly these friends did. Could you imagine? How many of you have something that you would like the Lord to do in your life right now? Anybody? Not very many. We need to work on that. Okay? We should all want and desire God. Listen, the best thing you can be, you know, there's one thing you can be selfish in. I want God more than you. Okay? And if we try to want God more than each other, man, what would that look like, right? So, but how many of you have ever had to set that aside in order to do something else? And the perfect example for this is parents, right? As parents, how many times have you wanted to do something, but man, your kids get in the way? Right? Even sleep? Anybody if you've had a baby, you know it don't matter, right? But we do that because, one, we love our children, and we want for them more than we want for ourselves. That is what Jesus wants, and that's what we see these friends. I'm sure these friends, man, they probably had situations in their lives that Jesus could have healed, could have delivered, could have done some kind of miracle work in their lives. And what they say, no, they said, no, we want you to heal him. Forget about what I have going on in my life. Because life is messy, right? Anybody's life perfect? Right? Perfectly imperfect, right? So, but they've set aside theirs and said, this guy really needs you. And so I'm going to go above and beyond, and I'm going to intercede on their behalf, and I'm going to beg you to heal them, Jesus. And so they implored him. But here's the thing. What did they beg Jesus to do? To lay his hand on him. Oh boy, did Jesus lay his hand on him in a weird way. But let's look at this. What have we been seeing Jesus do? He either healed people by laying a hand on them, or they touched at least his garment, or he just said, yep, they're healed, and they might be clear across the country. We didn't see Jesus do anything weird yet. And we've seen him do some weird things, but nothing like this. And, I mean, there's just so much that we could take away from this. One, it's all about faith, right? And that's why, you know, the mother that came for the daughter that we just read 2 weeks ago could sit there and say, I want to intercede for my daughter, cast this demon out. And Jesus didn't have to touch her, didn't have to do anything with her, just kind of dialogued with her. And he said, well, she's healed. She's delivered. because the faith was already strong. See, this man, he needed faith. Why? Because how do we know that? It's because his friends brought him. His friends begged on his behalf. He was probably at the end of his rope or thought what was pointless. My guess is that since he had a speech impediment, we don't know for sure, but it does say he had a speech impediment. He was probably deaf since birth. Right? Makes sense. And so nothing's going to change. This is how it's always been. How many of you made that excuse before? This is just how it is. This is just how it is. This is the situation I'm in. This is how it is. And so this is just it is. I just have to deal with it. And Jesus is saying, wait, licks, no. But see, they wanted him to lay a hand on because that's what Jesus did in the previous. You lay a hand on, I get healed, I go away, we're all happy. Jesus says, no, not this time. How many of you are expecting Jesus to do something in your life the same way he did something before? I'm here to tell you that he may not. He may mix it up. He may come at you when you're expecting something to come the same way each and every single time. Then we get through this, just this legalistic, well, I pray he touches me, I'm healed, and I pray he touches me and I'm healed. And we go through this cycle after cycle after cycle. Jesus is going to be like, no, I'm going to mix it up. And I'm going to mix it up. And I'm going to mess with you. Because this is what he does. Here, stand up. I'm going to use you because you're family. I can do that, right? So he does this. Did you clean your ears first?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. He does this. Now, stick out your tongue. Just kidding. I know. Could you imagine that? Seriously, what if, let's do the what if game, right? Because we would be labeled as a crazy church we're already a crazy church at that, but if we started healing people by sticking our fingers in people's ears and spitting on their tongue, seriously. Now, if you had a problem and you came up here for prayer and me or one of the other elders asked you, just stand there, and we plugged our fingers in your ears and said, stick out your tongue, and we spat on your tongue, what would you do? Oh, man. Yeah, it's crazy. See, we're not even there yet. I'm jumping ahead. But yeah, they just expected Jesus to come and lay his hand on it, but Jesus is like, no, I'm going to do something different. Did you know God wants to do something different in your life? He wants to do something different in life. He doesn't want to do what he already has done. And that's okay. Here's the thing. We expect Jesus just to lay our hands on it and pat us on the back and then go off. I'm telling you, he's already done that. Now let me talk to some of you old timers. People that's been here for the last 40 years. God wants to do something different. God doesn't want to do the same thing he did in the 80s today. He's going to continue that work, but it's not going to be the same because guess what? We got in our rut. We got used to this is how we do it. This is the motions we go through. This is how. I'm telling you, God is not displacing that. God is saying he's going to build upon that. And he's going to further that for us. Now, here's the thing. Jesus, what did he do to him? He took him aside. He said, listen, I'm going to take you. I'm going to set you apart. I'm going to bring you over here because there are so many distractions. Listen, you cannot stand on just your friends. Leave your friends over here. It's about you and me right here. We cannot depend on the things that we've depended on in the past. The only thing we can depend on from the past is God himself. Well, this is how, man, this church did this, and that really worked for them, so let's do that here. You know, the church that I came from, I remember hearing from them, one of the pastors that came right after I left, and that took over. He had had a successful ministry in Florida, and he did a pretty good job there in Dover too, but what I remember hearing was that he said, everything I did there in Florida that was a great success, we did everything here, it just didn't take off the same. And when I heard that, I remember, man, I remember going from one youth group to the next youth group or ministry or here and trying some of the similar things, and it doesn't work. Huge success here. And then it's like, well, why didn't it work here? Because God wants to do something different. I'm relying on a process. I'm not relying on God. See, God is the one that makes things go. God is the one that pushes things forward. God is the one that grows. God is the one that works the miracle, not you or me. Nothing that we do will work a miracle outside of our obedience to Jesus Christ. And so he takes his friends and say, listen, you stay here. God, you come here. God, you come here. Because it needs to be your faith, not theirs. It's your miracle, not theirs. There will be a time where you're going to have to sit there and say, I rely on God and I don't rely on my friend's faith, my family's faith, my parents' faith, what happened in the past. Then we get into the weird. Putting the fingers in his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue with saliva. My goodness, doesn't he know how germs work? Anybody a germaphobe here? I mean, seriously, would that not freak you out? Did Jesus have rubber gloves on? I mean, I don't know how this worked. We don't have, this is the most details we have, right? Did Jesus put his fingers in the ear and then take one hand out, spit in his hand, and then touched? Or did he just spit on? I mean, I don't know. Either way, man, that's gross. I mean, even if it is Jesus, it's gross. Now listen, I've heard teachings on this and other things where Jesus does some other weird healings. You know, oh, well, Jesus put his fingers in his ear because Jesus is perfect in every way, and he is the creator, and what he did, if the man was deaf at birth, then God, what Jesus did was, is God was recreating the eardrums. Amen. Hallelujah. Yep, praise God. We don't know if that's true or not. It doesn't matter. What we do know is true is that God put his fingers in his ears and he was healed. How that chemistry, how that actually happened, it doesn't matter. The fact that God did it does. And we can break that down, and it is. It's fun to break it down and analyze it and all those different things. But the truth is that's for your analytical thinkers. What we need to know is that God's going to do something. He's not going to do it the way you think it's going to get done. Because do you think this man woke up this morning when his friend said, hey, let's go see Jesus, he's going to heal you, and they begged him, lay a hand on him? Did you think that man would have ears in his, or his fingers in his ears and spit on his tongue? That's not his own? No. I doubt that went through his mind this morning. And just like when you come in here on Sunday morning, or you wake up tomorrow and you're off to your day, whether it's to work or wherever else you're going, you know, how you think it's going to happen, that's not how God's going to do it. God's going to surprise you. It's not by your ways, it's by his ways. He's going to do miracles in your life if you allow him, if you seek him, if you're faithful and you're obedient and you remember every single step that God is faithful. What I find is very interesting is the next part. It says in verse 34, and looking up to heaven with a deep sigh. How do you think it sounded? Do you think it was here we go again? Here's another one. I'm just trying to get alone. Have you guys ever sighed like that? Yeah? Yeah, I do. And I'll be like, what are you sighing for? Oh, I don't know. I didn't realize it was. I guess I'm just tired. You know? I don't think it was. I think it was a deep breath in and a calming, a getting into the moment. Because this is one of the very first times when Jesus heals, at least in Mark, we are seeing that he is addressing who? God the Father. Which direction does he look? To heaven. Now I find that very interesting because he takes a deep breath and sighs, looking up to heaven. We don't see Jesus doing that yet. What we have seen Jesus do is that we see a transition in his ministry where, especially after he sent out the 12 disciples, you know, two by twos, and gave them power and authority to do healing and cast out demons. And now we see Jesus beginning to work in a way that we can mirror. Because what God is pointing out, what Jesus is pointing out is here is, listen, the authority doesn't come through me. Authority comes through God the Father. And if we are supposed to replicate what Jesus does, whether it's sticking our fingers in somebody's ears, spitting on their tongue, what we do replicate is we look up and we speak to the one that actually can do the healing, that can work the miracle. Did you know that if you come up here and I pray for you, I lay my hand on you, and let's say you have a broken arm that you want God to heal. And then miraculously, in that moment, God heals your arm. Who actually received the gift of healing? The person with the broken arm. Well, not anymore. See, we like to label people that pray being the healer. No, they're the conduit. They're the one that God works through. The people that actually receive the healing, that receive the miracle, that receive the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, the word of tongues, discernment, all those different things, is the people that are receiving it. And so God is teaching us, listen, if you're the one that's praying, listen, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God and that individual. And what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to look up to heaven. God, heal. Jesus doesn't say anything profound. He says, Ephphatha, which simply means be open. Open the ears. What I find very interesting is that he doesn't pray about the tongue. He doesn't say anything about the tongue. He doesn't say be loosened or whatever. The only thing we see is that Jesus spit on the tongue. But he speaks directly to the ears. And he says, be open. Be open. No fancy words. I mean, how long does it take to say Ephphatha? Less than a second? A second? Wasn't 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. It was just simply that. And what we see is that the man was healed. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes we have to wage war. Sometimes we do have to pray, and it takes not only minutes, but it takes days, it takes weeks, it takes whatever, as we journey towards God in our healing. But in those scenarios, the question that we need to ask is, Lord, what am I supposed to learn during this time? How can you build my faith? And other times, God is just looking for us to remind or to look to him for our healings, and in an instant, we can be healed. I don't claim to have all the answers of how these things work. I just am pointing out things that are intriguing to me in Scripture. In one word, God says, Jesus says, and he's healed. And it goes from there, and it says that in verse 34 or 35. And it says, his ears were open, and the impediment of his tongue was removed, and he began to speak plainly. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Because even though God did not speak, even though Jesus did not speak to the tongue, he spat on it, but he did not speak for it to be loosened, to function properly, but the man spoke plainly. How many babies come out of the womb speaking plainly? This man, probably deaf from birth, never heard a sound and spoke plainly. Probably better than you or I. That in and of itself is a miracle. That his tongue would move, that the words would roll off. And, you know, if they were speaking Greek, might have been speaking Greek, could have been speaking Aramaic. That's the languages that would have been common at that time. And if you know anything about those languages, it just rolls off your tongue. It's a lot easier to speak once you actually understand it than what even English is, because there's just some commonality that just rolls and flows. But he spoke plainly. He could hear. His ears were open, made perfectly new in every single way. And he gave orders to them in verse 36 to not to tell anybody. And then, this is hilarious because this would be me, right? The more that Jesus ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. How many of you do opposite of what you're told? Anybody? Yes, my son does, and my daughter. They raise their hands. Of course. But it is. It's like, oh, this is the forbidden thing. I'm going to share it. The more, and I just wonder, because Jesus never rebukes them for that. We see this several times throughout Scripture. We've already seen it in Mark, you know, Mark recording these things. But yet, we never see Jesus reprimanding them for continually sharing it. But here is the closest thing. The more that he said don't, the more that they did. And I wonder, did Jesus use reverse psychology on them? We don't know. It doesn't say. And I'm not trying to say it is. I just think it's interesting. But what we do know is that they were utterly astonished. It says that they were utterly astonished, saying, "He has done all things well and makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Why? Why is it so amazing that the deaf would hear and the mute would speak? Why? Anybody? Anybody have any thoughts about that? Here's my thought. Let me get a drink first. So here's my thought. What have we seen Jesus do? He's cast out a whole lot of demons. He's healed a whole lot of sick. We don't know a lot of those specific sicks, but this is the first indication that he healed something from birth. He made it new. And so here it is that we see, even the lame man, that was something miraculous in there, but this is something just even different. And so they were just utterly astonished. Now, let me tell you this. If you allow God to work a miracle in your life, if you allow God to do the weird things of putting his fingers in your ears and spitting on your tongue, if you have the faith to run after him, if you are willing to step out of the crowd to reach out and touch him, if you are willing to beg for the scraps under the table, you will be utterly astonished. You will be utterly astonished. See, this Jesus thing, it's not just a thing. It's a relationship. This church, it's not just a one-day event. It's a community. And though we have struggles in communities, the one thing that remains true is that this community was created to, one, share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and two, to encourage and build up one another. Jesus will return. He may even return today. Are you ready? Let me repeat that. Jesus may return today. It is 100% possible. Are you ready? Are you ready? Is your family ready? If not, you need to drag them to the feet of Jesus. Are your friends ready? But at the same time, we do not know when Jesus will return. So we need to make sure that we are preparing every day for his return, and we are setting it up so that the next generation will be prepared as well. Utterly astonished, as the worship team comes up, and as we get ready to close this service, I leave with you with that, is that if you are willing to allow God to work miracles in your life, do not expect him to do what he's already done. He may not. But what I do know is that God wants to move in your life. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you. Are you ready to receive from him? And if you're ready to receive from him, I challenge you this morning. I challenge you every day this week. Get out of the crowd, run to his feet. Get out of the crowd and run to his feet.